When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit then.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again. Oh, you're kidding me!
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. You hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
This is a unique, I don't want to say unprecedented, but it is a unique Warriors plus minus. This is after the first game of a back-to-back. Anthony Slater, why are we doing this?
I thought you were going to say unprecedented because this actually was the first time in NBA history that a team that had just lost a game by 50 or more points won the next game by 30 or more. Which is interesting.
87-point swing.
Does this?
I was going to save that for you.
Does this say more about than anything about the Warriors? Does it say more about the top of the East, where the Boston Celtics plan a 50 spot and then the Bucks come in here and lose by 35?
Yes, but then the Celtics lose the next game, so it's the NBA.
Celtics blow massively.
Things happen.
To Dean Wade.
Dean Wade is the best player in the league. By the way, we did the last time we did this, we did it on the day of the second game of a back-to-back because we recorded on the night before and then we lost it. So
you make a good point. It's not unprecedented.
That's why I didn't say unprecedented. Yeah. But
we just do what we do. We roll along. This was an interesting game, though, because lots of different stuff happened. We know we got to talk about the rotations because that was fascinating. But Trayce Jackson-Davis, my God, like the fans have been clamoring for it. He's now the backup center. I think it's just going to be him and Draymond with a little bit of Looney. Saric is out. And he earned every bit of it, and he played fantastic.
He blocked Giannis twice, three times.
Twice on the same possession.
Twice in one possession. Yep.
And as Draymond said postgame, it wasn't just like, oh, he came weak side and Giannis didn't see him. There was two that was like straight up, I'm guarding you. You're trying to go through me. I blocked the shot. Those are more impressive, at least to Draymond.
And then, as if that wasn't enough, he followed him with dunks on the other end.
Yeah.
The display of athleticism and explosiveness really
and
pops
this is
with
right.
The
and Draymond said it himself, he saved him because Draymond starts that second half and he can't make a 2-foot shot. He's challenged Brook Lopez, Giannis. He could not finish. And that was what was open because they were kind of letting him get the drive or the cut. And then he couldn't finish. And then what Trayce comes in for him, pretty quick sub, and he finishes. As Draymond said, he saved Draymond because it was not going well for Draymond. And this guy can finish, better with his left hand than his right hand. I was talking to him about, I love talking about right hand, left hand finishes. But he does finish. He's above the rim. And they need someone who does. Look, Chris Paul is like, all he's doing is looking for Trayce Jackson-Davis when he's out there because he can catch the lob and he can finish.
This was the first Warriors rookie to have now 10 multi-block games since
James Wiseman.
James Wiseman. 12 of them.
That's saying something. That is saying something.
39 not many people, games as a rookie.
Not many people walk in and do the same stuff that James Wiseman did.
James Wiseman? This is going to be an unpopular take. Had a pretty decent rookie year.
Hey, James Wiseman was hooping rookie year.
Yeah,
come on, man.
He kind of was. It's almost like sad. Like, I feel like his best season was like his 39 game little spurt as a rookie.
He was like minus 120.
He was hitting like pin down threes.
He was running fast breaks around the back.
He started the first 10 games of his rookie season.
He had like, remember Steve Kerr and like Draymond even were like post game in Detroit after he does a Eurostep dunk, are like, we have a monster. Like, we've got a super. Anyway, sorry. I didn't need
to. Wiseman in the departure here. My goodness.
Okay.
By the way, who else finished inside today? You know who else finished? You know who else finished? Who I'm going to say?
I don't know.
Finish the game? What are you
going to finish at the rim?
Oh, at the rim today?
Damon Lillard.
Jonathan Kuminga did.
Jonathan Kuminga did. Yeah. Gary Payton II.
Oh, yeah, he did. He did. Very well.
He snuck one by Brooke Lopez. Remember that one?
He kind of quick shot at him. But this is a team that has to finish. Has to finish. Because everything can't be threes. Everything, the jump shot's not always there. Like, they get the lane because their teams are running out on them to cover the threes. They got to be able to finish. And tonight they were finishing them, you know, a couple spans where they weren't. But, you know, against a couple of good shot blockers, against a team that, you know, was extremely talented, extremely lengthy, they found ways to finish. And they need, you know, they need more and more and more of this. Because they've been bad. They've been bad a lot this season.
The thing that really jumps out to me in this game, and not so much last game, but like when they run it out there, their athleticism can compete, right? They've got some horses.
Well, you know, yeah, because they are, as Tim I know is about to point out, they've replaced Kevon Looney and Dario Saric, who are completely below the rim, like sneaky, crafty players, with now what? More Kuminga, Trayce Jackson-Davis,
Moody,
like young guys. So that's
Moody, changed. Like we talked about Moody, like guarding bigger guys and the lateral quickness being a thing, but he's really good with the big guy. He was really good on Dame. Like he was really good.
Picked
on
his
Dame.
Pocket and dunked one time.
He just spreads out. Yeah, he can spread out. Not going to move that much, but he can spread the arms out and get the ball.
Dame isn't fast. He's not like,
especially not anymore.
He wasn't explosive tonight.
Yeah, nah.
He definitely wasn't explosive tonight.
He was getting beat up tonight. Yeah. How many times have we on the ground? Look, listen,
you know, it's been a rough two nights for Damian.
Did you even get to this side of the building?
I didn't see him. It was a rough two nights for Damian Lillard because, you know, he's live courtside watching his beloved Oakland High Wildcats lose to the Oakland Tech Bulldogs in the NorCal Championship.
For those who can't see Marcus Thompson right now, because this isn't exactly a YouTube broadcast, he's wearing a Oakland Tech letterman with a big bulldog on the back.
Yes, sir. Bulldogs in the building. So, Dame, you know.
Basketball, can I say this year?
Oh, yeah.
94-95 varsity basketball.
You know what
Student
I'm saying?
Body president.
Student body president. Tech scribe. Sports editor. You know what I'm saying? My guy, the head coach of the basketball team, made this for me. You know what I'm saying? No, that's actually supposed to be the second, but I don't know.
I was like, Andrew Wiggins' number.
We say that. I was 24. But it's fine.
We're going a lot of detours.
But Moody's ability to stay with Dame, and obviously we must say Milwaukee did not have Chris Middleton, and it mattered a lot because that meant a lot of Patrick Beverley and I don't know who's the other guy. Like there has
some Connington play,
Beasley, was
that Jay Crowder,
Gallinari. Yeah, they had,
how many minutes did Gallinari get?
11.
They were bad minutes though. Yeah. Like they jumped on Gallinari quickly.
So they
have the ability to get pretty athletic. Like if you take away like the Boston, who's obviously top shelf, but they can do it. They can run with some teams.
Well, their starting small forward is one of the most athletic players in the league. And, like, Jonathan Kuminga now plays 30 minutes a night for this team. So, like, boom, you have a mega athlete. Wiggins is back. And then Trayce Jackson-Davis, I didn't know he was this athletic coming out of Indiana. I didn't know he could block shots like this, finish above the rim like this. I mean, he had the game earlier this year where he blocked Jaylen Brown twice. This was, like, that times two to do that to Giannis three times.
He told me that the Giannis blocks has surpassed. Jaylen Brown was his best blocks of his career.
The weak side overtime block on Jaylen Brown is his best block. Yeah. But that was an insane block. The
Giannis factor mattered a lot.
It's Giannis twice.
No, I get it. But I'm just saying,
exactly. he wasn't as high on the Giannis ones. It just was good blocks. But let's talk about the rotation move because – you know, I asked her pregame about the Looney Saric thing, and he got really quick with me. Like, okay, there's something going on here. And it was essentially that Looney's going to play a cameo role first half stint, and that's probably going to be it. And he's the first guy Kerr brought up postgame. Clearly a very important person to Kerr, somebody that he's gone back to over and over. He'll also take it out. And it means a lot to this team. And Saric is out of the rotation, which – You know, you can, if you've been watching this team, you know this has been coming.
He played himself out.
And you know that the fans have been clamoring for it. This is one I have agreed with the fans 100%. He's not making a shot. If he's not making a shot, he doesn't do a lot for you. He certainly doesn't do anything for you on the defensive side. So just taking him out and putting other people in there gives you more bounce, gives you more dynamic athleticism, and will give you more shot making, frankly, because he wasn't making shots. And then you take Looney out in the second half, you don't have him play, suddenly they have this speedy kind of feel to them. And with Trayce Jackson-Davis going to get 18, you know, 16 to 20 minutes as the backup center.
He might get 30 now.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
You know what else matters within this conversation that I'm not sure maybe on like the coaching staff game plan for tonight matters, but from a front office management matters. Dario Saric is a veteran on a one-year minimum that if he plays well, he's playing himself, just like Dante DiVincenzo, playing himself onto another team. Kevon Looney has $3 million guaranteed next season. Who knows about his future? It's more secure, and he matters more than Saric. But Trayce Jackson-Davis is on the first year of a four-year, very low dollar amount, you know, salary-wise. And Moses Moody.
57th pick salary.
Yeah, 57th pick salary, basically. And they got him for 2 years guaranteed, 2 years non-guaranteed at very low numbers. So they could have him for 4 years if he's this good. And then Moses Moody is already guaranteed for next year. And they need to figure out his future, right? Extension eligibility, all that. So within, I think, the micro of, like, it's obvious in the moment is also the macro of, like,
it's where they wanted to get to anyway,
they
right?
They need
where,
to see the future of these guys. Yeah.
They needed to get to this point. Yeah. I'm sure the front office has been asking to get to this point. You have Kuminga playing like this. You have Pajemski playing like this. You have Trayce Jackson-Davis now in the rotation. And you've pushed aside people who do not have a lot of guaranteed money left or almost no guaranteed money. This is how it was supposed to be set up for them. And it's happened. Now, you know, one outlier to that is Chris Paul playing very well, which he is. And he settles him down, and he's making his shot now. And he played, by the way, he loved playing Patrick Beverly.
Oh, he was lit up for Pat Bev.
He was knocking the ball away from Patrick Beverly.
And then doing a little tapping and all that stuff off the
This was him feeling good.
Pat Bev loves that.
Oh, yeah. But so, you know, that's a decision they have to make. You know, whatever. That, they knew that coming in. Like, you have a decision with him. But this is the way they kind of wanted the roster to end up on. And it took a while. And I always defend Kerr with this. These guys had to earn it. They had to, like, he went with guys. He's gone with them.
If he didn't do this, they wouldn't be here. They wouldn't have arrived.
I think there's a part of me that agrees with that. There's part of me that says, well, it might have happened 10 games ago, but, you know, Dario Saric can't say, Jesus, Steve, you didn't give me a chance. Oh, my God, you gave me a chance.
I do think that matters a lot to Steve. I do. Right?
Oh, I mean, it matters to Steve, but I think it matters to the veterans, too.
Yeah.
I'd agree that like that this was a very delicate season for him to guide to this point. Now, I do think if we went through like specific situations, particularly the Kuminga situation, I think he held off too long. I'd even go back to last season with Kuminga and like when Wiggins came back.
Yeah, Steve's bringing that up. Like the playoffs, I think there's some regret that he pulled away from Kuminga so much.
Because Kuminga meant a lot to them. They closed
the end of the regular season. Yeah,
he was huge. And then it was like, goodbye.
With no Steph.
Yeah. And there was a level of frustration even entering this season because of that. So yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think generally, like, we all know, like, the dynamics at play. You know, when people are like, oh, Clay's had five bad games earlier in the season, like, bench him. Like, do you know Clay Thompson? Like,
and what he means,
yeah,
you know, to everybody else in that locker
room. And how the best way to, like, keep him still, like,
yeah,
with the situation.
Yeah. I do think Kuminga should have been playing. Like
That's the one I think we all agree could have been handled.
And, you know, Moody, I think, should play more. But I do feel like part of why they've gotten here is they've gotten put through the ringer a little bit, right? Like, I mean, what did it take for Kuminga to play? For him to say, you know what, man, forget that. I'm saying something, right? Like, and that's part of his development, like taking his career into, you know, his own hands. So, I mean, I feel like, they're entering the stretch. What are they, like 14 or the last 17 or 14 or the last 18 or something like that?
That's 14 and 4.
14
11 and 3 and 14. So now it'd be 12 and 3. Yeah, 12 of the last 15. Yeah, all those numbers.
I mean, they're putting together a good stretch, and these guys are part of it. So that you could probably say Kerr was as right as he was wrong. He's right on a couple of them, wrong on a couple of them.
in a weird way, he got to the right spot. And by doing it this hard, it makes it more valid. It does. I mean, again, it's hard. You scrape through it, and there's been some problems. But again, there's no way that Dario Saric can say you didn't give me enough chances, or Clay can say I should be in the starting lineup because of all the great games I gave you coming up, you know, starting this season. You can't say it. And they're winning. Like, all these things happen. And Kerr's friends always say this. Like, he gets lucky sometimes. But if you keep getting lucky, if the things you do are part of good fortune, part of that is just being good, because you make your own luck, as the old cliche goes. And I think Kerr is really good about the moment this has to happen. This has to happen. I'll do it when it has to happen. Not when you kind of think it might happen. You have to do it when it has to happen.
Is there, so they obviously go to Boston and get destroyed. And you even see them lose to Denver at home. And there's this kind of narrative like, all right, they can't compete with the better teams in the league. Does anything change now that they've mollywopped Milwaukee without Chris Middleton?
No.
Yeah, they're not as good as Denver. They're not as good as Boston. They're not as good as Oklahoma City. And they're not as good. They've proved this. And they're not as good as Minnesota. But are they a team that could win a couple of games in that series? And if you win a couple of games, you're a threat to win it? Yes, they're at that place. But I think we've all thought they've been there for a while. This game was a solidifier for that.
I think matchups matter,
matchups matter. I think Oklahoma City and Minnesota would be favored against them, but, like, man, that's, like, dangerous.
They wouldn't want to see them.
That's dangerous for Oklahoma City and Minnesota, whereas, like, if this team can avoid Denver in the first round, attempt to avoid Denver in the first round.
Yeah, I do feel like not much has changed as far as, like,
I was in Boston on Sunday. Like, maybe my eyes are scarred. You guys probably, you know, shut the TV off by the second half. That was like jaw drop.
The second quarter was.
I turned it on. It was like 22-21. Yeah. And then I came back at halftime and I'm like, is this a mistake? Like, I'm refreshing. It was crazy. Then I'm like,
There was a point in the second quarter. I was like, can they score?
They couldn't advance the ball once.
They score once to make this slightly less embarrassing?
So which brings motivated Boston is really good. One of the things that you were on top of this reporting was how Steph, you know, was a game time decision. Played, looked like he shouldn't have played, but he got 2 days off. Yeah. He looks pretty good tonight. Is this bursitis thing over, or is it?
He's played 17 minutes in 4 days before today. Yeah. He looked fresher today, right? And the bursitis thing, like, to me, they put it on the injury report because of the Embiid situation earlier this year in Denver, when that was a big ABC game that everybody was hyped about, and then suddenly Embiid goes and warms up. It's like, I can't go. And then it's like, you went from not on the injury report to can't go 5 minutes before they fined him for it, right? The Warriors put him on the injury report in case he warmed up and was like,
on the side of putting him on the injury report.
Yeah, but that also alerts the public to, oh, he's having some knee things. And, you know, it was a little swollen knee, which, like, happens a lot. But it's not – he didn't tweak it, right? It's not like a tendon thing. So he seems fine. To me, the bigger thing was, like, you know, the fatigue stuff that was before the knee – that we talked about plenty. Steve was saying, Steph was kind of trying to deny, or whatever you want to say. He has looked tired, but this was nice for him to basically go four days straight without, like, strenuous NBA activity, and he looked like it.
But then they have a back-to-back, and then a Saturday, so it's three games and four nights.
They're gonna have, it's going to be pile up, and we'll see how they look.
Do you get him a game, TK? Do you get him?
If he doesn't want to at this point, I would.
He's not going to want to.
Yeah, and I wouldn't. I wouldn't, but I tell you what, Clay looked really, really creaky in Boston. Really creaky in Boston. I might
dunk tonight.
Yeah, I might
second dunk of the season.
I mean, I think we look fine tonight. I just think you might want to spot Clay. Like, you've got 11 guys. You can do that. You can play Bushimsky 32 minutes, as Kerr has often done. You know, I think he's cutting down everybody's minutes except for Steph.
Andrew Wiggins only played 14 minutes.
Draymond's tonight. Like you pointed out, like, Draymond's like playing 26, 27, 28. I asked Draymond about it, and he's like, yeah, that's the way we're going to be. And if you're only playing 26, 27, you better play hard, which I think Kerr loves to hear. This is probably not the way it's going to be in the playoffs. Shorten the rotation a little bit. But I think like Clay playing 18 to 20 minutes sometimes is not going to be terrible. Clay sitting out for a game or two is not going to be terrible. He won't want to, but I think that's one guy who could wear down. We know why he's had the leg problems. He needs his legs in his shot. I just don't know that. And I think that was the problem with the Celtics is that weird. We're not talking about that weird defense was partly because we have Clay and Moody who cannot stay in front of guys. What are we going to do? We bet. And Steph is whether, you know, he's probably not going to stay in front of the great players. So what do we do? Let's do something funky. And that funky thing got destroyed. But there was a mindset of we don't match up with these guys with our defense. And because we don't have Wiggins. That was a problem. And then it never got fixed in that game. We're recording here, MT. You're hitting your buttons, and I'm a little scared.
We're recording. So this was game 61. Steph has missed three games this year.
It's 61 to 64.
Yeah, so
he's almost near the All-NBA eligibility. You can check that box, and then he can you need like 65, right? So just four more games.
Yep.
And then you can just like sit him out, right?
By the way, he's proud of that.
Oh, no question. He wants to do it. I just wonder about the purpose of it. Like, what are you doing?
Trying to get seeds or chances.
The purpose of it is they're the ninth seed right now. By the way, they've hopped into ninth. They got by the Lakers.
Are they a full half game ahead of them?
Yeah, because the Lakers lost to the Kings. Okay.
So they're a full half game. And they're, like, what, half game behind the Mavericks?
Mavericks now are down to eight.
Wow. That's a big one.
You know what it's setting up for? Yeah, I'm all for this. Warriors at Kings for the 7-8 play-in. Come on back to Golden 1 Center for another monster matchup.
Could they play the Kings and lose and then play the Lakers? Could that be it?
Yeah, it'd be the Lakers here. I mean, theoretically.
That wouldn't be terrible.
There's still
Steph
a lot of
hasn't played 770 games in a season since 2016-17.
That's a long time.
He's probably going to break that. I don't know. The way he looks after rest, I'd find a couple spots for rest. No. Find a couple times he plays, be like, you're taking his day off. Because when he comes back, he's clearly like, there's a surge.
They got four back to back.
This last road trip's interesting, though. Because you go to DC and you're like, oh, maybe you get him there. It's like, no, like, go win the game to start the road trip. It's off a day off. Okay, then you go to New York. He wants to play in New York. You feel like you can get that win in New York. These wins really matter. You go get that. Then you're going to Toronto and you're looking, man, you could have a really good 3-1 road trip.
You just go get the Toronto game.
And then suddenly you're 3-0 heading into Boston. He wants to play in Boston, right? Yeah. It's an ABC.
ABC would not have been happy.
They would not have been happy.
So he wants to play that. That's why you pull the plug quick.
Yeah.
But, you know, and his point is.
In fairness, they pulled the plug quick.
Quick. Yeah. You know, and they say post game, that's not really a day off, right? If you mentally
prepared. Warmed up, and yeah, I mean.
But. I don't know.
It's just a lighter day. I mean, so they got Bulls, Spurs, Mavericks. You know what you need to go do? Mavericks.
You want him to get time off? Yeah. Go get the sixth seed because then you get a week off before the playoffs. Don't be in the play-in because guess what he's going to play in the play-in? 44 minutes.
Yep. And travel and all the other things. Yeah. No, that would be ideal for them. I don't know how doable it is. But you get in that 7-8 and then you play once. You win. You play once.
You drop a 50 ball in Golden 1 Center
and you're
again.
Done, and you're done.
It'll just feel like, I feel like it is destined for the 7-8.
Because you want it. You're trying to manifest it.
But every time, like, remember, what was the big in-season tournament game? In Sacramento this season.
That was the weird one where they're, like, trying to count the score.
You want to know what's crazy about that game? That is the last time before tonight that they had an entire healthy team. Mm-hmm. It was late November, and on that night, everybody's healthy. Moody's out of the rotation because of it. Peyton gets hurt. Paul gets hurt in the first half. Moody hits the three threes, but then he benches him. Yep, that was the drama then. Yep. But from that game, because Peyton was hurt, then Draymond gets suspended. Paul gets hurt. Wiggins is gone. Tonight was the first time they've had the full rotation.
Yo, telling the story of the season, Slayer.
That night, Pajemski, DMP, Trace Jackson Davis, DMP, Corey Joseph in the rotation, Looney starting, Saric in the rotation. It's just a totally different team.
And but it was the Kings. You're right. It does go back to the Kings.
It always does.
And maybe it'll go again. That would be amazing if they play the Kings and then play the Lakers in elimination. That would be pretty amazing.
NBA wouldn't mind.
I don't know. I think they minded last time.
Well, what they wouldn't like is that if it's a Warriors-Lakers elimination game, neither
one of them.
I was watching this game again, the 52-point loss aside, if you can possibly throw that out as much as you can. Actually, you know, the first, when the Warriors were building that lead, I go, there's some teams that don't want to play this team in the playoffs. Like, they do stuff.
I can name them.
Yeah, they do stuff that is going to be very difficult. If Steph's playing like that, if Kuminga's going downhill, if, you know, Draymond's doing what he's doing, they've got depth. They can come at you with Gary Payton. They can come at you with all this other stuff. Like, that is going to be a tricky team in at least a couple games in a seven-game series, and maybe, you know, get you to game seven. And then if it's game seven, who knows what 30 is going to do. So then when I see that, I think that. Of course, we see some other games where we don't think that, but this is going to be a tricky team in the playoffs. No matter what, how it works,
it's going to be tricky. Tough. I think Denver will beat them. I don't think Denver will want to see them in the first round.
No.
Yeah, but I mean, but the thing is about the West, like, it's loaded with tricky teams. Like, the Pelicans healthy are a tricky team. They're hot as hell right now. They're in the five. Like, that'll be hard. Like, the Suns, they're kind of wobbly, but they still have Kevin Durant and Booker. Like, you want game one to tip off again.
I
think Dallas is the weakest one of those. You know,
and a week ago they were like the hottest.
I know, of the middle echelon teams.
Well, Kings, some people would say.
Yeah, I'd say the Kings
just went to LA and beat the Lakers.
I mean, what are the chances that the Warriors and Lakers both go ahead of both those teams? Like, I think there's a chance that that happens, but that would be to six, right? Well, it would be 7-8. Yeah, 7-8.
Yeah, you know, so. The only thing is, like, you know, you would have thought tonight the Lakers go up 19 on the Kings, and the Kings storm back and crushed the Lakers, and like. I don't know. The Lakers look vulnerable to me, but you're right. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, it's going to come down.
West is wild.
Yeah, West is wild. Yeah.
But like, it's now within reach. I mean, we've been saying this for a while. Yeah. This is literally, they could start hopping two teams.
I told you these teams are not. Yeah. These teams in the West are just not that solid. I mean, Houston almost took out the Clippers tonight. Yeah.
To me, the Pelicans are becoming tougher to beat because the Pelicans are just crushing bad teams. Yeah. They're just crushing bad teams. Phoenix is gettable at 26 losses. Yeah, you can get up to six. Six seems reachable.
If they are within reach of the six, then they're playing Steph Curry every game. I'll tell you that.
Okay, let me ask y'all this.
Can go six if Denver's sitting at three?
Yeah, Denver's sitting at three right now. The Clippers seem like they're heading towards a little rough month and will probably be at four.
Yeah.
You got to get to five.
Pelicans will be tough to hop. What if you just sit in the 7-8 and trust that you can win the 7-8 chase them?
Some weird things could happen, right?
And you get Minnesota.
Yeah. You get Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't think you
want. Is Minnesota one or two?
Right now they're two. They're two. Thunder's one, which,
by the way. I don't think you mess around. You try to get to six because you get the week off. Because then a fresh Steph is more important than anything, in my opinion. And
you're saying that, and then you're going to be in Denver watching Nikola Jokic have like a 20-10 in the first half.
It's over. This series
might not have been a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll keep it a 7.
I would not do that.
I agree with you that you're, as Kerr would say, you're messing with the basketball gods, right? Yes. Like, you're not
one extra
right
game
way.
Means one more time Steph could tweak an ankle. Yeah. It means one time Draymond could get pissed off at a referee. It means one more time, like, somebody else could get hot. And we've seen other teams just, you know, we're not, you know, that would be the Lakers or the Kings, you know. Like, it wouldn't be a throwaway game. It would be something difficult. And they could lose that. And then they got the do-or-die game they got to play the next time. So, I guess both would be at home if you're the seven.
Yeah.
Both would be at home. Yeah, maybe they take the playoff gate. I don't know. But the other bizarre things about these play-in games, you can't find the box scores for them. Like, you go back and look, the Warriors' two play-in losses, those games disappear. They don't count anywhere.
I mean, you find them online, but they don't count.
Yeah, they don't count. I just don't like that. Like, they're not, like, playoff stats. They're just these otherworldly things, and I like things counting for what they are.
Sounds like a baseball writer.
That sounds like a guy who looks at stats a lot and wants to be able to accumulate them, and you can't.
Sounds like a Hall of Fame voter, baseball Hall of Fame.
What do you want to know about the playing games? I got them.
You got all of them?
Ja Morant, okay. How many points did he score now?
Xavier Tillman, how many did he score against the Warriors?
Boston Celtics Xavier Tillman.
That's right. It doesn't play very much for him now.
Jeez, Ja. A smooth 35.
One other thing we have to say, like, Moses Moody is getting minutes, and he's got to get minutes. Like, we've been saying that. He has to get minutes.
I agree, and that's obviously what is trending currently, but, like, I feel like we've had this segment, like, 19 times over the last three seasons. Totally. Like, he's in. Kerr, on the podium tonight, said he's in the rotation.
Can you name the starters from the Warriors Grizzlies playing game?
The Warriors starters?
The Warriors starters.
Juan Toscano Anderson, nope. Steph Curry. No,
JTA.
JTA was in the rotation.
He was zero, but he wasn't starting.
Okay.
Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins.
Draymond Green.
Kawhi
Looney.
And
Kelly Oubre. No.
Sorry. Damian
Jordan
Lee?
Poole. Jordan Poole.
No, Jordan Poole came off the bench. Yep. Damian Lee did not play.
I don't know.
Oh, Kent Bazemore.
There you go. Lining up. It was lining it up back then.
Kent Bazemore started.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Jordan. That was when Jordan Poole was becoming good.
Remember that?
That's
the team that went 15-5 to close the season, by the way. 15-5.
Yeah, that was it, man. Kent Bazemore.
Your backup center was JTA. That was your backup center.
All right, y'all named basically seven of the players. They went eight deep. Who's the eighth?
The eighth.
You already got JTA and Jordan Poole. They came off the bench. TK, you disappointed me. You know this.
Eric Paschal, no.
No, he didn't play.
Yeah.
Can I give you a hint? It was a rookie.
It's not Wiseman.
No. Nope. So who was a rookie in Wiseman?
Who was a rookie with Wiseman?
Not the Michael
Mulder. Michael Mulder.
Mulder. There you go. The 28-year-old rookie.
Michael Mulder.
The least clutch 40% three-point shooter. Exactly.
He was like 50% in the first three quarters. He did like 20 the rest of the way. Yeah, that's Michael Mulder was playing like 20 minutes.
They needed a spacer.
Was Damian Lee hurt?
I don't know why.
Why is Damian Lee not playing?
Damian Lee kind of faded from the rotation.
I thought he was playing then.
No, did he not do the two-way thing, right? Was that the year where they did?
He was on the roster.
I don't know who else is on that roster. You know who else is on that roster? I believe that's when Gary Payton had been converted.
Gary Payton was on the roster. He was on the roster. You know who else was on the roster? Alan Smilagic.
No, I was going to say Smilagic was going to be.
Nico Mannion. Oh, man, this squad was wild.
Remember the Nico Mannion?
Go two more years back.
James Wiseman two-man game. Remember that
one? Hell yeah.
That's going to be the second team, two-man game. That's enough.
All right, send us out.
All right, until you're not doing one tomorrow, are you? All right.
I just really am not doing one tomorrow.
Warriors plus minus going down. We get all 82 after Wimby on Saturday. With Slater, you got it. Until then.
Maybe I'll talk to Wimby.
Maybe you'll talk to him. All right, we out.